Welcome to WHRO's Weekly Edition. I'm Jordan Christie.
And I'm Barry Graham.
We highlight the week's news and stories happening all over Hampton Roads. New news up ahead for you as we head into the final weekend in May. As we near beach season, the Virginia Department of Health is urging folks to prioritize water safety in order to prevent potential drownings.
And if we're having active conversations about potential hazards, it makes us more aware.
When Nathan Sims led Norfolk's Housing Authority, it issued two no-bid contracts to a recruitment firm. That same firm landed Sims his next job, leading the Housing Authority in Charleston, South Carolina.
And we sit down with WHRO's new education reporter, Ashley White, to recap the latest education news around all of Hampton Roads. It's WHRO's Weekly Edition. The original mattress factory in Virginia Beach has been churning out mattresses for 25 years this June. WHRO's Toby Cox takes us on a tour of the factory to see how they're made.
The team working in the cavernous assembly floor behind the showroom can make about 80 mattresses a day. Eric Van Essendelft with the company says some are standard sizes while others are custom made for antique beds, RVs, and boats. They all take basically the same ingredients.
A firming pad, a cotton pad, and then some foam and a quilt.
All the components are secured to the box spring with a staple gun. Then the mattress is heaved to the next table where the sides are sewn together. At this point, it's ready for inspection. If inspectors can see the red thread of the stitching, the mattress is taken apart, put back together, and reinspected. It takes about 3 days to go from order to a finished mattress. Toby Cox, WHRO News.
The last few weeks of weather have been a scorcher around Hampton Roads, and that's continuing a streak from April, where it came in as Virginia's hottest April on record. WHRO's Katherine Hefner tells us what's up with this weather.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says Virginia was one of 8 states to have their warmest April. The average statewide temperature was 61 degrees. That's up just a few decimals from Virginia's past record set in 2017. The average April since the data began in 1895 has been about 54 degrees. The hottest weather happened in the western half of the state, which is also currently experiencing a drought. Roanoke broke its April heat record. Norfolk and Richmond tied or surpassed their third warmest. Katherine Hefner, WHRO News.
As the weather warms up and more people spend time at the pool or beach, the Virginia Department of Health is urging residents to prioritize water safety. WHRO's Ashley White says vigilance could be the crucial difference in saving someone from drowning.
VDH is asking families to take the Safe Swimming Pledge this summer. As part of that pledge, which can be found on the VDH website, adults promise to never leave children unattended near or in the water. They also agree to designate someone to actively watch children in the water distraction-free. Brianna Bill with VDH says the pledge is a way for families to help keep themselves and their community safe.
Awareness is the first step to prevention. And if we're having active conversations about potential hazards, it makes us more aware.
Last year, Virginia recorded a 6-year high of 12 pool drownings among children under 5. VDH's Eastern Region had 3, Bill said. Other ways families can prevent drownings are to ensure someone knows the signs of drowning, CPR, and how to use flotation devices. Ashley White, WHRO News.
The Chickahominy Indian tribe has had a presence in the Tidewater region for centuries, and its citizens, of which there are roughly 1,000, face many of the same problems as their non-tribal neighbors.
Like many communities, the tribe is desperate for more access to childcare and also eager to carry on its deeply rooted culture.
As Megan Pauley with VPM News reports, the tribe is banking on a new childcare center to accomplish both of those goals.
Across the street from the Chickahominy Tribal Center in Charles City County, Virginia, leaves and branches crunch underfoot as tribal citizen Suzanne Brown moves through a forested lot. The thick brush rests under a canopy of pine, oak, and gum trees. Finally, Brown stops and looks up.
This tree here, this is that infant room, and I remembered that helped me, you know, as a marker.
Brown has been leading the effort to build a new child care center here in Charles City County, where the tribe is located. That involves clearing some of these trees.
We're going to harvest the least amount of trees possible. We don't want to take everything down, just what we have to take down.
Brown is a problem solver. She began noticing a few decades ago, when her kids were young, that there were few options for childcare in the county. Right now, the only full-day childcare center within the county has a wait list, leaving families to drive long distances for care or leave the workforce. The new center would serve at least 100 children, including infants, toddlers, and preteens. And it would be open to all Native children and kids from the larger community. Brown says the tribe is eager to see it open.
They're like, when is it coming? Like, you know, how much longer? When are we going to break ground?
But Brown doesn't have an answer to these questions right now. The center is estimated to cost at least $15 million. And while the tribe has already paid to set up power and have the building design drafted, they've only raised about a third of that.
And the challenge right now is garnering the funds that we need to start today.
That's Chickahominy Nation Chief Stephen Adkins. He says a capital campaign is underway, and the tribe is calling on anyone who can help bring the project to fruition. First Assistant Chief Wayne Adkins says the goal isn't just to provide childcare, but also to integrate the lives of children and Native elders who could share cultural wisdom.
When generations come together, they all benefit, even if it's just for lunch or if it's for a craft activity or something.
The tribe started helping its citizens pay for childcare back in 2021 with the help of a federal grant. A few years before that, they were federally recognized, which opened the door to some funding that allowed them to start saving for a new childcare center.
In 31. In 45.
On a Wednesday afternoon in April, 87-year-old Sadell Stewart and other Chickahominy elders gather at the Tribal Center for lunch and bingo. Stewart knows the importance of early childhood education. She taught in Charles City County for over 30 years, in schools run by the tribe and the county. She recalls bringing in fry bread to show her first graders how it used to be cooked.
For the fried, you had to use the grease that came from the animals that you cook.
She hopes the Child Development Center will help preserve cultural traditions. Several years ago, the state helped the tribe purchase the Mamanahunt Peninsula. It's over 900 acres, including 5 miles of Chickahominy riverfront property. The land originally belonged to the tribe, but a colonial-era treaty displaced its people in the mid-1600s. Back at the building site, another tribal citizen, Vicki Holmes, is walking the wooded grounds for the first time. She's been working with Suzanne on the project for years, but now that she's here, she's overwhelmed.
I don't know. I feel emotional is what I feel. And I'm like, wow, this is happening. We're prayerfully that this is happening.
And while they still have a long way to go, Holmes can visualize the building as if it's already there. For VPM News, I'm Megan Polly in Charles City County.
Still ahead on Weekly Edition, Women Fest, featuring dozens of female artists and vendors, takes over downtown Norfolk this weekend. But first, the Norfolk Botanical Garden recently built a new floating wetlands. WHRO's Catherine Hafner breaks down how they work.
Alex Cantwell with the Botanical Garden paddles a small boat around the freshwater Nato Pond. She points out green plant shoots sprouting on what looks like a floating kidney bean.
They're just starting to wake up. I think with all this warm weather headed our way, they're gonna really take off.
This is the first season for 3 floating wetlands the garden constructed with students from the Virginia Beach Environmental Studies program. They include native species like swamp milkweed, blue mistflower, and soft rush. Cantwell says they'll help clean the water and support wildlife.
We've got a really lush habitat that will form above the water, but it also will create habitat beneath the surface of the island. So those deep roots will grow through the island and into the water.
She hopes guests will be inspired to learn more and perhaps even replicate the mini wetlands in their own communities. Catherine Hafner, WHRO News.
James City County's fiscal year 2027 budget cuts impact residents' property tax rates. WHRO's Nick McNamara reports that it does increase taxes on meals and introduces one for amusement park and moviegoers.
The $413 million budget approved on Tuesday brings the property tax rate down from 83 to 80 cents per $100 of assessed value, tacking on a 2-cent tax credit for the year after several residents raised issues with nearly 12% average home value growth last year. The budget also takes meals taxes up from 4 to 6% effective in January, and in July sets a 5% tax on tickets for movies and bush gardens. That was a point of contention for some residents and for board member Tracy Wainwright.
I just think there's going to be ripple effects and repercussions on our servers, our restaurant owners, and our citizens.
Board Chair John McGlennon, however, says it helps offset some of the costs for staff raises, increased material costs, and new government buildings to visitors, not property taxes.
Allowing us to shift some of the cost of government off of residential property owners.
Nick McNamara, WHRO News.
Tribal nations in Virginia are trying to stop development just outside Richmond at the historical birthplace of Powhatan, the father of Pocahontas and the sacred chief of their ancestors. Tribal leaders met this week to explain the site's importance. Pamela D'Angelo was there for Partner Station WVTF.
Chief Powhatan ruled over 32 tribes back in the 1600s. And this place that we're talking about is a sacred, vital, sovereignty place that has gone back for many, many centuries.
Lois Costello Carter is a member of the Mattapani tribe. She's talking about Tree Hill Farm, a 530-acre property that overlooks Richmond and the James River. For thousands of years before colonization, indigenous people lived and prospered there. Ashley Spivey is a citizen of the Pamunkey tribe and an anthropologist.
There's evidence that our ancestors were there and that the other historical moments that are in that landscape, the Civil War, the plantation history, the enslaved history, is also present there. Because that's only been preliminary work, there's much more work, in our opinions, that needs to be done to fully understand the extent of the village that was Powhatan, where our ancestors were buried, and that work hasn't been done.
The site has great spiritual meaning to the tribes. Here's Chickahominy Second Assistant Chief Troy Atkins and Eastern Chickahominy Chief Joanne Howard.
That is a sacred site to us, even walking on the land and touching artifacts that have been excavated from it. It's a humbling feeling that I'm walking on land that my ancestors did.
I heard one person say, it's like taking President Washington's home place, Mount Vernon, and making it into a subdivision.
From the Rappahannock Tribal Center in Indian Neck, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
Tree Gill Farm was recently included on Preservation Virginia's list of most endangered historic places. While Nathan Sims led Norfolk's Redevelopment and Housing Authority, the agency issued 2 no-bid contracts to a recruitment firm.
After Sims was fired, that same firm led the national search that landed him his next job in Charleston, South Carolina.
WHRO's Ryan Murphy has the story.
NRHA paid Gans, Gans & Associates at least $82,000 for 2 no-bid contracts in 2024. One was for Gans to study whether Sims and other NRHA executives were paid enough, a study NRHA now says it doesn't have. The other contract was for a staff search that ended with hiring Demetria Johnson as Sims' right hand at NRHA. Sims was fired from NRHA in October 2025 over the extensive use of no-bid contracts under his leadership. A WHRO investigation revealed NRHA issued more than $4 million worth of no-bid contracts, often to personal or business associates of Sims and his top deputies, including Johnson. NRHA is in the process of an internal investigation, which leaders say could turn up evidence of criminal activity. Despite his firing, Sims was hired as the head of the Housing Authority of Charleston, South Carolina this spring. Gans, Gans & Associates was hired to lead that search. In his first public comments since WHRO's investigation, Sims denied any wrongdoing at NRHA during a press conference earlier this month.
What I will say is that I work through our procurement channels with the agency. No one, I never have and never will, be reckless with resources to just give to people. There's a process. I work through that process, and I stand by that.
At that same press conference, Charleston Housing Board Chair Greg Voigt reiterated the board's confidence in their hiring of Sims. He noted the agency is opening its own investigation into what happened in Norfolk.
We are retaining a Virginia firm to thoroughly go through every potentially meritorious accusation. That's going to be as broad as it can be. And we owe that to the people that we serve, and we owe that to the city of Charleston.
When asked if the board was satisfied with Gann's work, Voigt told reporters he'd probably hire the firm again in the future. Sims, Voigt, and other Charleston board members declined interview requests from WHRO and did not respond to emailed questions about the previous links between Sims and Gans. Simone Gans Barfield, who owns the recruitment firm, also didn't return phone calls or emails. Ryan Murphy, WHRO News.
The Women's Fest, featuring dozens of female artists and vendors, takes over the Plot and Zeke's in downtown Norfolk this Saturday. Kate Nowak reports for WHRO.
Co-founders Alyssa McGuire and Savannah Carrick like to joke that they started the Women's Connective because they needed friends. They have friends now. Lots of them. Female-identifying acrobats, comedians, painters, potters, and poets. And nearly all of them will be at the free event. Their priorities are community, art, and a safe space for women, even more than profit. They avoid paywalls for the artists and attendees wherever possible. Here's Carrick.
Your eligibility for this space is not based off how much money you make. It's based off whether or not you want to be part of this community. Like, that's what we prioritize.
To create a village, they say, you have to show up and be a villager. Kate Nowak, WHRO News.
Virginia is known for its beauty, from mountains and coastal marshes to farmlands and historic towns. A group called Scenic Virginia has already selected 7 sites it calls scenic treasures and is asking the public to help identify others, as WVTF's Sandy Hausman reports.
Scenic Virginia is hosting 2 different contests, hoping to protect views that might be vulnerable to development. Among those chosen is the view that named Richmond.
That view was recognized back in the 1700s when they named the city of Richmond after Richmond on the Thames in England.
When developers proposed high-rises that would spoil the view, Lynn Crump says Scenic Virginia worked with about 30 different groups to protect it. And today, Libby Hill is a park. Also on the list and being mapped by Virginia Tech, Brakes Interstate Park and Birch Knob near Wise, Piedmont Memorial Overlook in Fauquier County, Old Rag in Rappahannock, and Patrick Henry's home, Red Hill, in Charlotte County.
We are particularly interested in views in the eastern Piedmont and the coastal areas of the state because we don't have any representation from those.
Program manager Jill Grant says judges will assess natural beauty along with cultural, historic, and economic value.
As people are traveling throughout the state, they stop, they look across those vistas. And so there is an economic value that we want to make sure that people consider.
Also underway through May, the group's photo competition. Winners will be published in the Richmond Times-Dispatch and invited to a special reception and showing of their work. Grant and Crump hope these competitions lead more communities to think about the importance of views and work to save them. I'm Sandy Hausman.
President Donald Trump is considering a bill that was introduced by the late Congressman Jerry Connolly, who died last year. WVTF's Michael Pope breaks down the bill.
It's called the Gerald E. Connolly Esophageal Cancer Awareness Act, and it directs the Government Accountability Office to report on esophageal cancer care, early screening, and healthcare spending for federal employees. The House passed the bill last summer, and the Senate passed it on the one-year anniversary of his death. Congressman James Walkinshaw was Connolly's chief of staff, and he's now representing the 11th Congressional District.
It was nice to have something to celebrate and to help remember him by. It was his last legislative act. You know, he was ranked the most effective legislator in the House and passed dozens and dozens of pieces of legislation. This is the final one that he introduced before he passed away. So, you know, really glad to see it moving.
Dr. Tim Cannon is an oncology specialist who treated Connolly.
I really think there needs to be a large-scale project to focus on the molecular origins and do studies that go beyond just DNA and RNA analysis, because those have not been very revealing for esophageal cancers.
Walkinshaw says the bill is likely to be signed in a batch of routine, non-controversial pieces of legislation, perhaps an ironic capstone for the late congressman, who was anything but routine and non-controversial. Michael Pope.
I sat down with WHRO's new education reporter, Ashley White, to discuss the latest developments on the Abby's Warner criminal case, the current landscape in education administration around Hampton Roads, and what insights she'll provide to listeners. Ashley, welcome to WHRO. I'm so thrilled that you are here covering a topic that I think is absolutely vital for our news department to analyze and follow.
I'm really excited to be here. I love education, so I'm excited to be covering this.
Bring us up to date with some of the issues that are happening in local school divisions. Of course, the tragic shooting at Richneck Elementary was back in the news with the trial of Ebony Parker, who was the assistant principal there during the incident.
They had picked a jury. The trial was going on. The prosecution had presented its evidence, and the state said this is why we think these charges should be brought against her and why a jury should find her guilty. And the defense filed a motion and said, we think that the prosecution hasn't done its job, so the judge should dismiss the charges. And the judge, kind of in the middle of trial, said, yeah, I agree that as the laws exist right now, we can't charge her with these things. So if you want to charge her and find her criminally culpable, the Virginia legislature is going to have to change the laws.
Teacher Abby Zwerner, who was shot, she won a civil suit back in the fall. However, the school system, to my understanding, has appealed that decision.
Yeah, and so that will go before an appeals court. Her attorneys told the Virginia Pilot that they think the dismissal of these charges will actually kind of help that appeal process and help it go forward more quickly. And there's also a couple of other civil lawsuits lingering from some parents who have filed. And those are all still just making their way through the court system.
Looking at the education landscape inside the area, there has been a continuous shift in school superintendent and leadership at the very top of the divisions.
Yeah, and that's not unusual. I think it feels really overwhelming for us because there's so many districts that we care about and we pay attention to. But the School Superintendent Association, which kind of looks nationally at different superintendents, they've said that the average tenure is about 5.4 years. We are not unique in that we are having a lot of superintendent turnover, but it feels like a lot. You know, we've had turnover at Chesapeake, Isle of Wight, Norfolk, Williamsburg, James City, Virginia Beach, and York County have all had kind of recent changes in the last couple of years.
Now, some of these were due to superintendents retiring. Example, you mentioned Chesapeake. I know Dr. Cotton there announced that he was leaving July 1st. However, some of these divisions and the change of leadership was due to the board ousting the existing superintendent.
You know, Isle of Wight decided not to renew their superintendent's contract, and so the deputy superintendent of operations will end up taking his place in July. Norfolk is another one where, you know, Sharon Birdsong was in there for about 5 years. So there's that 5-year average. And then she was fired last summer and Jeff Rofes took over in January.
So the dynamics of education in the region are ever changing and there are just continuous issues that have to be addressed.
Yeah, then there's a whole laundry list of items I think that we could talk about that affect education and will continue to evolve. And so that's why I'm here, is to hopefully bring some context to those and make them make sense for our listeners.
We're looking forward to your reporting.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ashley.
You've been listening to WHRO's Weekly Edition. We had help today from WHRO's Toby Cox, John Doucette, Catherine Hafner, Nick McNamara, Ryan Murphy, Kate Nowak, and Ashley White.
VPM's Megan Pauly, WVTF's Pamela D'Angelo, Sandy Hausman, and Michael Pope. Also, Connor Worley, who produced today's show.
A reminder that you can always catch full episodes on the Weekly Edition podcast feed.
You can get your news updates at WHRO.org and the WHRO Reports podcast feed. For all of us at WHRO and WHRV, I'm Barry Graham.
And I'm Jordan Christie. Have a great weekend.